The News of the World, Wednesday, February 25th. Once again, Columbia's correspondents in world capitals and in the fighting zones in the Western Pacific are ready to give you the latest news direct by shortwave radio. This morning, we shall call in London, Los Angeles, and try to bring a direct report from somewhere in Java. In addition, Harry Marble will report on the news at points not covered by our direct pickup. But first, here are the highlights. Allied warplanes have gone into action over Macassar Straits again. Two enemy transports were sunk. A third Jap transport was sunk elsewhere. Fighting continues on Bali, Sumatra, and Timor. Japanese raiders appeared over many points in Java and again raided Port Moresby. Now, Harry Marble.
In just a moment, we will call in Java, but first, the news in Russia. Russian troops were declared officially today to have crushed Germany's 16th Field Army. The Soviet forces surrounded the Germans in the Staraya Russa sector 10 days ago. When the Nazi commander refused to surrender, the Red Army attacked. A special high command communique this morning declared laconically that a few days ago, the operations were concluded. And according to the Russians, they were concluded after 12,000 Germans had been killed, three divisions shattered, and vast stores of war equipment captured. This battle is big enough to rival the fighting in the Smolensk sector to the south. Now for the news direct from abroad, we switch to the Dutch East Indies, to somewhere in Java, for the news by William J. Dunn.
This is Java. Enemy bombers ferried their anti-airport campaign in Java yesterday with a prolonged attack on the harbor at Tanjung Priok, waterfront suburb of Batavia, according to tonight's communique of the NEI fighting forces. The attack was carried out by 16 planes, which came over in formation and, when forced to break formation by Dutch anti-aircraft fire, returned to the scene in small groups and carried out their attacks individually. Although the attack lasted for approximately an hour, the communique says damages and losses were small, as nearly all of the bombs dropped into the water. Actually, there was very little shipping in the harbor at Tanjung Priok yesterday, nor has there been for the past few days. Batavians are still unable to understand why the Japanese delayed this long-expected attack so long, because an air raid timed to follow the evacuation of Singapore could hardly have failed to result in enormous losses. The same might have been said in the first 2 weeks of war in Rangoon, when I personally inspected millions of dollars worth of war materials for China and Burma, piled 2 to 3 stories high along nearly 2 miles of docks. By waiting more than 2 weeks to make their first attack on Rangoon, the Japanese gave the Allies time to disperse by far the greater portion of this invaluable war material, or started on its way up the treacherous Burma Road. Yesterday's attack on Tanjung Priok was followed immediately by an attack on an aerodrome in the same vicinity, but burning gasoline drums are the only damage reported. The Dutch also announced an enemy attack on a naval objective near Surabaya, but very little damage resulted. Yesterday's air activities over various parts of Java resulted in one Japanese fighter and one Japanese bomber known to have been shot down, while three other fighters and five of the bombers are believed to have met the same fate. The communique explained that the peculiar terrain of Java makes it very hard to trace destroyed aircraft, which reach the ground at remote locations, and only planes actually traced are reported destroyed. Not all the news from Java tonight is unpleasant from the Allied point of view. The destruction of 3 air transport ships by Allied planes in the course of actions against Japanese concentrations near Macassar was announced today. This is the first time that Macassar, or any of the more important points in the outer provinces, has appeared in any NEI communique in more than a week, and would tend to indicate that resistance to the enemy at these points is now confined to aerial action. Allied aircraft attacked an aerodrome in the vicinity of Palembang and bombed 3 enemy planes on the ground, setting them afire. There is no announcement of air activity over Java during the past 12 hours, but formations of enemy bombers were sighted at several points in West Java, and attacks on an airport in that vicinity resulted in slight damage. There were no casualties. This is William J. Dunn in Java. I return you now to Columbia.
And now for news of our own West Coast, we take you to Los Angeles and the report of Byron Palmer. Anti-aircraft guns went into action against unidentified aircraft in the Los Angeles area shortly after 3 a.m. Pacific wartime this morning. The anti-aircraft guns began barking during a blackout ordered by the 4th Interceptor Command at 2:25 a.m. The unidentified object, which some sources thought might be a blimp, moved slowly down the Pacific coast from Santa Monica and disappeared south of Long Beach. Army officials declined to comment on the possibility that the object might have been a blimp. However, it required nearly 30 minutes to travel some 25 miles, far slower than an airplane. Watchers on the rooftop of the Columbia Broadcasting Building in the heart of Hollywood could plainly see the flashes of guns and searchlights sweeping the skies in a wide arc along the coastal area. Concussion of the shells could be felt in downtown Los Angeles, 15 miles away. U.S. Army planes quickly took to the dark skies, but whether they contacted the object has not been announced. Army officials say they will not comment until they receive a full report of the action. Although some watchers say they saw airplanes in the air, semi-official sources say they probably were the U.S. Army's pursuit. Several observers say they saw one or more planes spotlighted by 20 or 30 searchlights. The object moved southward, presumably over Huntington Park at the western edge of Los Angeles, and on southward to about Long Beach on the coast. By 3:30 a.m., observers said the object appeared to be over the south of Long Beach. Searchlights closely followed the object down the coast and kept it centered in their glare. Shells frequently could be seen bursting near the object, but none appeared to hit it. The shooting stopped about 3:30 a.m. The shooting brought warfare to the front door of this city of 1.25 million population for the first time since December 7th. Already, it was alert to the presence off the Southern California coast of a Japanese submarine which had pumped 25 shells into an oil field north of Santa Barbara Monday evening. Because of the presence of the submarine, a three-hour alert was ordered at dusk last night, and civilian authorities stood at their posts while the Army and Navy continued their search for the submersible. The evening alert ended at 10:23 p.m., but another was sounded at 2:22 a.m., and the blackout followed within 3 minutes. It covered Los Angeles County from Santa Monica to Pomona. At 2:27, all Southern California radio stations were ordered off the air, except those in San Diego. Approximately 20 minutes after the firing died down, the ship returned and headed westward from Long Beach toward Santa Monica. The guns went into action again, hurling round after round of shells at the object. The second barrage appeared to be closer to downtown Los Angeles, since watchers could hear the concussion of the guns more clearly, and the flash of bursting shells was brighter. Then the ship disappeared for the second time over the ocean. We return you now to CBS in New York.
And that was Byron Palmer on the West Coast. Next, across the Atlantic, we take you now to London and Joseph Evans, Jr.
Good morning. This is London. Despite Prime Minister Churchill's warning yesterday that many months of punishment lay ahead before the Allies could hope for any real victories, Londoners were feeling quite down this morning at the news from Burma. With most of its civilian population evacuated to safer areas in the north, Rangoon, the Burmese capital, was stripped for action to meet the Japanese invaders. Fighting is going on along the line of the Satang River, the British claiming that their forces still hold the west bank, some 70 miles from Rangoon. The Japanese, however, say that their forces, which have been strongly reinforced, have advanced about 30 miles further and have captured Pegu, about 40 miles from the capital. One of the evacuee trains heading for Mandalay was bombed and hit, but there is no report yet of casualties. Chen King reported that for the third time, Chinese troops have prevented the invaders from crossing into northern Burma from the Siamese border, inflicting severe casualties on the Japanese. There is a determination to hold Rangoon just as long as possible. The governor, Sir Reginald Dorman Smith, having announced that if necessary, the port would become a second Tobruk. The latest news from Timor revealed that more Japanese parachute troops have landed near Koh Tang. Dili, capital of the Portuguese half of the island, is in flames, and Japanese transports in the harbor are also on fire. A strong Japanese naval force has been observed off Dili. The Japanese raided Port Moresby, New Guinea, again today. Reports of yesterday's raid just received show, however, that damage was slight and that only one person was killed and five injured. There is no confirmation in London of the reports that British troops were still fighting isolated actions at Singapore. Churchill's disclosure that more than 73,000 British, Australian, and Indian soldiers had been captured when Singapore fell left little hope that any small group still holding out would get very far against the Japs. The Royal Air Force was in action again last night, laying mines in enemy waters. Although the British communique did not reveal the area, the German news agency reported that the planes were over Heligoland Bight, where the three big German warships sought shelter after their daring escape from Brest. During a fighter sweep over France yesterday afternoon, the toughness of the Spitfires was proven again when one hit a telephone pole in a low-level attack and still came home with a part of a broken-off pole jammed in the wing. It was piloted by an American, Pilot Officer J.J. Lynch of Alhambra, California, who is a member of a Royal Canadian Air Force squadron. Lynch admitted that his plane rocked more than a little bit after the collision, but said that he hadn't realized it had been such a near thing until he found a piece of the pole after landing at his home airport. No enemy action was reported over Britain. Questions in the House of Commons yesterday revealed that Germany has promised safe conduct for a ship to carry wheat to starving Greece. The British authorities are still waiting, though, for a similar promise from Italy before sending the relief ship on its way. The Greek government in London reported that its people at home were now dying at the rate of 900 a day from hunger and exhaustion. I return you now to Columbia in New York.